This is 69 the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. The goal on here is to make listeners aware of interesting companies, smart people, and new technology developments, all of them meaningful in making digital signage projects happen. I try to help listeners understand sometimes complicated subjects and why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but things happen now and then. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 has been around since 2006, and the publication and podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which provides customer engagement solutions for business. You can find them at spectrio.com. There are lots of reasons why digital signage and digital out-of-home ad networks don't have audio. The biggest reason being that the majority of people, especially staff who are in that environment all day, don't want to hear messages over and over. Many speakers have been stabbed with forks or seen their audio cables snipped by workers who could not take it day after day. But there are also cases in which audio would be welcomed and very useful. There are different technologies out there that can enhance and complement the messaging on screens, and headset devices that can be borrowed or rented so that audio can be added to things like museums and attractions or live sports events. The challenge is that the technology used might be old and limited, or the setup requires maintaining, cleaning, charging, and keeping track of a lot of hardware. A Montreal company called Devox is taking a different approach, making audio streams from live events and from screens available over local area networks and Wi-Fi, so that anyone with a smartphone and headphones of some kind can launch a simple web app and start listening. The primary markets, I think, are with big sporting events and conferences, but it's also the sort of thing that has application for digital signage and digital out-of-home. I spoke with Devox president Sebastian Boulanger. Sebastian, thank you for joining me. I know very little about Devox. Could you give me a rundown on what the company is?
Sure. So Devox is a fast-growing startup at the moment that is offering a technology, a new generation technology, for live audio streaming purposes in several domains.
And how does it work?
Sure. Well, easy enough, Devox is taking and acquiring any analog audio source, might it be coming from a live microphone, sound desk, broadcasting trailer, audio extractor devices, or whatever you please. I mean, we're acquiring analog audio input, then convert it to digital to stream it directly over the local area network, meaning that guest or visitor has to be connected onto the right Wi-Fi to be granted access to the audio stream. Mm-hmm. And we're doing so, the stream goes out through a web page, so then even the end user doesn't have to install any mobile apps or whatever. It's only a web browser page, basically.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is you're seeing stuff on a screen at whatever venue you're in, whether it's a sports bar or a sports stadium or some other place. You can basically hear the audio without having to crank the speakers to 11. For that to happen.
That is correct. Let me give you a couple of examples here that might be helping here. Let's say you are in a sports bar, as you were just mentioning, and you have plenty of screens in front of you. So which of those screens will be on the speaker boxes? So basically, you can have ambience music, whatever, for all the other guests. But if you feel like you want to hear the football match, you simply have to have the audio off that television screen. So with Devox, what you can do is having all the different audio feeds running inside of the system. And then by being connected onto the right Wi-Fi, you will be able to choose which audio feed you want to hear. So basically, through a regular web page, as simple as browsing, you have access to all of the audio feed that the venue is offering in live, in real time. So only a QR code is enough to get onto the event page. And if you're on the right Wi-Fi, there you go, you have all the feeds.
So you're using a smartphone and a web app to get this, as opposed to asking people to download our special app and go through a bunch of hoops.
Yeah, that is correct. And that's why we're having a lot of pull these days in the sport industries. in the Congress Center industries as well, educational, because any audio source can be streamed through Wi-Fi. So when, you know, we're just back from Detroit, where we were showcasing our technology to the new league, which is called the UFL. And in the meantime, we presented to the NFL Lions and at the Ford Field. And basically what these guys are offering is having a 65,000 seats venue with a powerful Wi-Fi coverage. So now with D-Box, they can have any exclusive content because it's not a broadcast. It's a local stream. It's a huge difference here. So basically they can have any audio feed and give it to all of the attendees, ticket owners that are inside of the building to have exclusive content. So while your eyes are looking at a football match, football game, you can have audio description, you can have quarterback microphone, you can have a bench microphone, you can have anything you please, basically.
As long as the organizer decides to make that available, then and you can capture it through your devices, then you can use it.
Yeah, that is correct. And, you know, mainly what we're doing is installing physically the device, the D-Box hardware piece of equipment, next to the broadcasting trailer. Let's call it in the loading dock, if you please, because all the audio feeds run through that truck, basically, broadcasting trailer. But before getting those streams to the sound desk and on air, we can have those same feeds and put them back in the venue for the guests that are attending. So if we roll back a little bit of discussion to the digital signage here, just to give you another example, might be helpful to understand with another example. Let's say you are in an airport. So you are here 2 hours, 3 hours prior to your flight. You already have your headphones. There's already Wi-Fi in the airport. And there's, I don't know, in between 600 to 2,000 screens, right? I mean, all over the airport.
Right.
All of those screens are on mute. But why? Because it will be a mess to try to have sound coming out of those screens, that's for sure. So now, you have plenty of apps that could be available, and some of them are really neat. I'm not arguing these. But you might be a tourist with a foreign SIM card, not having data plan or whatever, whatever. So with D-Box, basically, you log into the Wi-Fi, load, simply browse to the airport webpage that is offering sound. And if all of those video feed were backed by an audio feed that the airport wants to give you, then all of a sudden you have access to the audio feed for all the screens without the need to install anything, no latency, and then basically you choose whatever you want to hear without reading subtitle all the time.
So I travel a lot. I go through a lot of airports. The quality of the Wi-Fi varies pretty widely, airport to airport. Sometimes it's amazing. Yeah. Sometimes it's dreadful. What kind of impact does introducing these audio streams to an airport that maybe already has more as much demand as it can handle? Yeah. You know, what's that going to do?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And here's one thing I would like to, you know, explain in detail here, if I may. Wi-Fi is one thing. Internet access is another one. So in your example here, when you're saying the Wi-Fi is weak, is it the Wi-Fi strength, the coverage, or the internet access? Because sometimes the issue is not necessarily the strongness of the signal, meaning you have good reception, you know, over the Wi-Fi antennas that are installed all over the airports, there's so few dead zones. But yeah, you're right. Sometimes the IT administrator just locked to a certain speed the up and down traffic to avoid having a bottleneck onto the networks for somebody who is, I don't know, streaming live or whatever. Thing is, with D-Box, when you are onto the Wi-Fi, you simply download, if I can say, the visual of the event page. So simply by browsing, you're accessing a web page. Same thing as when you are asking for google.com and you have the search bar popping in. So basically, you only have a visual that's coming in. But as soon as you click on play, all the audio feeds being kept local. Your cell phone is having a direct path to the hardware, which is inside of the building. So to answer your question, having a slow internet is not even a problem as long as you have a Wi-Fi coverage. And even with only one bar of signal, this is way enough because we're only carrying audio around on purpose. So here in that scenario, we are using 48 kilobit per second per user per listener. So 48 kilobits, it's nothing. Those antennas are built to manage 1 gigabyte of data transfer. So everything stays local. So there is no round time trip latency with the cloud or internet, or whatever. So we have less than 0.04 seconds delay.
So,
on a Wi-Fi, it's really, really nice.
Right. So unlike if you're trying to send video around, which should be very heavy on a network if there's a lot of demand, audio is nothing.
Absolutely. Plus, I'd like to add that, you know, since knowing that we are only audio for obvious reason, all the web browsers are behaving the same way. And for any network, might it be public or private or whatever Wi-Fi infrastructure, we are considered as voice over IP. So therefore, there's already pre-configured quality of servicing, blah, 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 because of course, people sometimes are having messenger call or FaceTime or whatever. So the audio goes smoothly through any network, and all the web browser, such as Safari, Chrome, Edge, whatever browser you might be using, are behaving the same way because they think it's a web radio.
Right.
All right. So you can kill your screen and put your cell phone in your pocket and keep listening for hours without dragging down your battery. If we were to have video content or subtitles or video bumper or whatever, we would be having issues to be polyvalent with all the web browsers as they are not behaving the same way.
So this concept and need has been around for a while now, the idea that I wish I could hear what was on that screen, but they've kept the sound down for whatever reason, or I wish I could hear this or that.
Yeah.
There have been other attempts in the past of doing this sort of thing. I remember there was a little company called Hear My Lips. It's a god-awful name, but maybe that was part of the problem. But there's been a few things out there.
Oh, you're right.
Technology advances this stuff, obviously, but I've also seen things like golf tournaments or other events where people have this weird little thing clipped onto one of their ears. That's I guess a remote speaker. So it's a hardware device that you have to have in order for you to hear specialized commentary or something. You're saying we can remove that equipment because you have a receiver in your pocket anyways, your smartphone and, you know, earbuds, and you're good to go.
That is correct. And, you know, I would like to complement or answer that question with a brief history of Livox. So being myself a technical director in show business industry since a while, at first I was asked to have instant translation over large crowd, let's say 2,000 plus guests, on a corporate event back in 2015. And back then in 2015, there was still a lot of BlackBerry on the market. And it was a business conference. So even the business people attending were not necessarily owning their own cell phone. Remember the very beginning of the Apple and, you know, smartphones? Sometimes they were business phones. So they were not even allowed to install. Plus, the speakers, the keynote speakers, were themselves refracting the fact that their content might be going to the cloud. They didn't want, because they just created or write a speech for this particular event without allowing us to have any content going to cloud. That said, back then I was only having infrared technology, which is great, but it's kind of an old generation technology where you need to have dedicated receivers, landing counter, managing IP, installing radiators, and so on and so on. So then, what's left? You have FM technology, which is kind of behaving the same way, basically, with dedicated receiver. But as you know as well as I do, that all the FM frequencies are saturated in downtown, and it was a mess, basically. So now, by looking for a solution, I end up with apps that were out of question. So back in 2015, they said, okay, there's nothing that is doing a simple thing, which is acquiring audio, streaming live through a web page. So then I asked around and I decided to build it. So as if I roll back to your previous question, sorry for the long answer here. You're absolutely right. Any cell phone and or MP3 player, which is Wi-Fi capable, iPad or anything that is having a web browser on that can be on the Wi-Fi is in fact an actual receiver with Vivox. Mm-hmm. So then may you use your preferred headphones or your preferred Bluetooth devices that you're already having configured with your cell phone. And there you go, you have an audio receiver.
Right.
So it's really convenient. You don't have to bother with having a dedicated piece of equipment. There's no cumbersome stuff to install either.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I was over in the UK a few months ago, just working holiday, and went to a couple of museums or places where, you know, you would pay to get in and walk around, and you could give them $5 or £5, and they would give you a headset device of some kind that streamed. And I thought they were great, but there's a whole routine to cleaning them, making sure that they get them back. I'm sure there's maybe not shrinkage because people aren't really stealing them as much as just forgetting they have them, and they walk out and see them. They're on the subway and they decide, you know what, I'm not going all the way back with it. So they toss them. So it's expensive and there's a lot of management involved. You're saying with this, even in a museum setting, you could just use this instead of, you know, this hardware suite.
Absolutely. I mean, totally. And then you don't have to manage all the batteries that are going to be dying, people dropping their receivers. And all your points were really valid ones. And yeah, your cell phone is the only thing you need. And, you know, I might add, just to a certain extent, how many cell phones, old cell phones, past generation, do you have in your, I don't know, Gunther tray, or how many devices you still have at home from the past
year? Four or five.
Yeah, there you go. So even without a SIM card, they're still accessing the Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah.
So even these old cell phones are actually working as a receiver for your kids or older parents or whatever, I mean. Mm-hmm. So in a museum environment, I know they do have a lot of schools coming in and younger visitors and stuff like that. So they might be willing to still land the receiver. In that sense, this is not an issue at all. Anything that is web capable is an actual receiver. So may we provide, or they can provide themselves, any MP3 player Wi-Fi capable, and out of a sudden, you have a visitor that can use their cell phone. That's it.
For over a decade, ScreenFeed has been the reliable choice for beautifully designed, licensed content such as news and weather. We handle over 27 million requests a day to deliver dynamic content to 200,000 screens across the globe. Now we bring you ScreenFeed Connect, a no-code solution that makes complex content projects easy. Projects that used to take our designers and developers weeks became a to-do we could complete before lunch. The easy-to-use browser-based tool leverages pre-built data connections and ready-made widgets to give you the power to design with data. Create team member profiles, schedules, tenant directories, progress boards, featured products, or anything that leverages your data. Discover how Connect empowers you to complete projects faster at ScreenFeed.com.
So for an airport, for a museum, for a big sports stadium, those kinds of things, they're going to have IT teams. They're going to have telecommunications closets, IT closets. They've got all the stuff together and the experience and qualifications to to put something like this together. If it's a sports bar or some sort of small to medium business environment like that, is this over their heads? Is this something that it would be great, but I don't even know where to start?
Oh, no, it's so easy. I mean, even when we went to the Australian Open at the beginning of the year in January, and to be completely transparent, it took 20 minutes. The hardest problem was to have the right feed out of the sound desk, basically. Mm-hmm. Over 20 minutes, we're up and running. So let's put it that way. Whenever you have an audio content somewhere, I mean, you have the audio side that you can have access to, and you have a Wi-Fi net, well, Devox fits right in between.
Okay.
So on a boot cycle, we're up in about, I don't know, 2 minutes, and we're already in your Wi-Fi because we connected the network, and then we plug in the analog audio feed. The only thing left is to match the volume, and that's it. Mm. It's really easy to understand and to integrate.
And these are basically rack-mounted appliances, like 2U appliances. You just slide into a rack and off you go?
Absolutely, yeah. 2U rack space. And it's super convenient for any rack because they are standard AV kind of dimensions. So this is not a huge rack. And, this is not a refrigerator that you have to deal in your AV room. I mean, it's super small. Yeah.
So it would fit in most businesses, and it's not a big footprint.
Exactly.
Is it the sort of thing that a business owner could install, or are you doing this through, you know, resellers and integrators who would, you know, put this in for folks and manage it?
All right. So that's a kind of a two-way answer here. If I was to send you over a device right now over FedEx or whatever, you receive it, and I'm pretty sure that within, I don't know, 15 minutes, you'll be up and running, right? But in fact,
As long as I have a hammer.
What?
As long as I have a hammer.
Okay, yeah. No, no worries. No, I'm sure you won't need it. You just need an Ethernet cable, not a hammer. and, you know, I'm positioning my company as an AV manufacturer here because we're aiming for several market and several field of usage, meaning digital signage, sport, congress, and, you know, hospitality, transportation, whatever and whatever. Mm-hmm. Plus, we're having several territories. Now we are distributed in the Australian market and New Zealand. We are as well in the US, in Canada, and soon enough, we'll be in the UK. We're just leading discussion right now. So I will not personally be able to answer the call. So for all of these territories, right? So I'm relying on resellers to help me there, to be the first layer of servicing and or be the integrator, okay? And you know, the complexity is not on Devox side. Let me give you an example with the airport once again. Whenever you're in the airport, you have announcement, a lot of announcement. You have sometimes ambient music, or you know, in a sports bar you have a little happy hour music, whatever. Mm-hmm. But whenever there's an announcement, it's just taking over because they want to have everyone to hear it per terminals, whatever. So these guys are already having audio DSPs and amplifiers and speaker boxes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So basically, by having all the audio DSPs, what those AV integrator would do is to reprogram the DSP just to have an audio mix that is going through Devox that will still keep the announcement on top whenever there's announcement, right? Priority. Mm-hmm. But in that sentence here, this is a bit more complex. So yes, an integrator would do it. But for any sports bar, you take any audio source out, may it be an HDMI audio extractor, and put them in Devox, and that's it. You have nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. You know? So if you want to have a dedicated mix with priorities over feeds and blah, 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 that's a little more complex. I'm relying on resellers and integrator. But if you are doing it your own way with analog in from an auxiliary one out of your preferred sound desk or HDMI extractor or microphone, ever, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Does the footprint of a facility like something like a an airport, you know, which is vast, does that present any kind of a problem in terms of latency, you know, on the local area network, or is it still like just it doesn't matter whether you're 10 feet or you know, 1,000 feet away?
No, absolutely. I mean, an airport is a good example here. They can't generate delay on the IT side neither. So basically, all of the terminals are interlinked through fiber optics cables. So there's no IT delay, if I can put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm going to use again this Australian Open example here, where we're connected to the Melbourne Olympic Park. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were having more than 400 antennas, and that was still leaving the site of the Australian Open and along the you know, the bicycle path or whatever. You go out of the site and you have another section which was having a huge hill grass slope where people were sitting and looking at an enormous big screen. So okay, for all of those that are not ticket owners, they could be going there. So the Wi-Fi was offered to that section too, and we were snap sync on the screen. So the delay of the IT is not an issue. Of course, if you are running with copper wire over 27 switches, you will be infringing delay. But
right.
I mean, we are not experiencing IT delay, if I can put it that way, on our installation, and we can be as wide as the coverage is.
Strikes me as there's always a challenge with something unfamiliar to get people to, first of all, be aware, and second, to do whatever's needed to get it going. Do you face that at all in terms of putting this in place, like at the Australian Open? Like, how does the Australian Open make their ticket holders and fans aware that this is there and get them to use it?
Excellent. Yeah, totally. First of all, they need to communicate that this is a BYOD device, so meaning bring your own device, bring your headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did in this particular event is to have one or two emails sent prior to the event to the ticket owners mentioning bring your headphones or your devices. But on site, there was a lot of advertisement as well. Hey, we're using Devox. You can connect to your cell phone, blah, blah, blah. So that's for the bring your own device part. Now, what we did on several events, actually, not only at the Australian Open, is have a simple JPEG, a picture that is telling to people, step one, connect to the Wi-Fi with the name of the Wi-Fi, connect to the whatever Wi-Fi, right? Step two, scan this QR and done. So any guest in the room simply have to take a cell phone, connect to the Wi-Fi, scan the QR, that's loading the page, and that's it. We also have prints, I mean, large banner, vinyls, and stuff like that, stickers, poster, whatever, that are applied almost everywhere on site, so people can have this QR for the web event page anywhere. So that's pretty easy to communicate with the guests.
Could you have tiers of service? So let's say you can get a basic thing of the in game play-by-play, but if you want to hear the audio from the quarterback's helmet or whatever it is, you can get that too, but you're going to pay an extra $5 or something.
I mean, paying a little $5 more, that's totally up to the broadcaster itself, because the Devox don't need to. I mean, you just give me the audio feed you want to stream. So in your example here, okay, we went on Fox Sports request, we went to the Crypto.com arena to have a showcase of our technology for a boxing match back in September. And you were sitting in the audience It was a private one, right? It was with the Fox team and media and whatever. So we were roughly 30 people trying the solution. Mm-hmm. So for that test, what they gave us was the blue corner, red corner, the referee mic, and the commentators. Okay. So when you were listening to the commentators, these guys that are commenting the match are next to the ring. So you can look at their lips and you are directly sitting next to them. You can hear it super clearly and you don't have any delay. So the lips to your ear is instant. Plus, whenever these guys were, and that was a heavyweight championship, I mean, I'm so happy not to be a boxer, a fighter. These guys are
terrifying.
I'm saying it. Oh yeah, I'm saying it politely, but these guys are monsters. I mean, they're big and they're hit. Anyway, so I was in the audience, and when I was grabbing the referee microphone that was falling from the ceiling microphone, and you can hear the hit, the glove hitting the face, the glove smashing the skin of the opponent, and it hurts basically. Mm-hmm. So you are in the audience, and for the first time, you're experiencing the hit. I mean, you can't be closer without getting hit, basically. Yeah. And the red corner and blue corner were really quiet. I mean, these guys are fighting, but as soon as you hear the ring, ding, the dong, and then whatever, they jump back to their corner, their coaches were giving them strategy, mm-hmm. and you can all hear it. So that's really engaging. You can select red corner and you can hear, okay, just try to block a little more and he's punching you all the time in the same place. And you have all these relevant information that is changing the game completely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So basically, it's super easy to get any audio feed out from the broadcaster.
It's interesting. I keep coming back to airports and honestly, the TV screens that are on there showing, you know, the news every half an hour or whatever, I'm very happy if I can't hear that. But what I would love to be able to hear, particularly at many airports that have god awful audio systems, mm-hmm. is I'd like to hear the gate announcements, because yeah. it sounds like I can't figure out what they're saying because they're using cheap old speakers or God knows what. But if I could just hear that now they're boarding zone 2, I'd be happy as a clam.
Of course. And not to forget about all those noise canceling headphones that works really great. Mm-hmm. So you could be in your small cocoon of yourself.
Your bubble, like, yeah.
Oh, of course. And hear everything in the announcement clearly and, you know, without bothering about the baby crying or, you know.
Yeah.
So, in the digital signage world, we're also leading discussion with, I'm not going to mention it like per se, but we're leading discussion right now with big players that are offering places, exterior places like Square, that are surrounded by LED screens. Mm-hmm. So it is not Times Square, but just picture Times Square in your mind so you will see a bit what I'm talking about. So basically, when you are walking in this environment, you have plenty of LED screens, but the only thing you can hear is cars passing by, horns of the car or tires squeaking or whatever noise might be happening. Mm-hmm. So all of those publicity or visual are only video for the moment. And, you know, then again, you're walking by, you might be waiting for a bus or whatever. Will you take time to install an app? You already have 80 of those on your cell phone. So, I mean, to have the sound of a billboard could be as easy, and it is as easy as scanning a QR code, and then you have it directly. So that's really cool. It's kind of a good way to wait the bus, basically.
Yeah, although I really can't see myself walking through a big public plaza and deciding I want to hear these ads as well, but that's just me. I'm a cranky old fart.
No, but you're right. Absolutely. I mean, this is not necessarily for publicity, audio, got it. But some places like the one we're talking right now is running also interviews and
gotcha.
public, Yeah. So
understood. Okay. Last question, because this just flew by, is what am I as an end user buying? Am I buying hardware, or am I buying hardware and then subscribing to a service as well?
Okay. Basically, what we are selling at the moment is, yes, the hardware solution, because we need to acquire the audio and stream it to your network. So the input card, which is DVox hardware, has to stand inside of your building. On the other hand, we have a yearly licensing, which is really, really low and super affordable, because we are not dealing with up and down traffic. So the only reason why we're having a yearly licensing is for you to be able to customize your visual. You can totally modify the web page, the event web page, as we call it, on your will. So with your logo, your color, your name, your picture, your face, or whatever you decide. So you can customize the visual. You can also customize when it's going to be up and when it's going to be this event is over or whatever. Plus, one thing that is really important, you can extract the KPIs. So basically, at the end of a certain period of time, you decide that you jump into your event, and you can interrogate the system to have relevant stats, but they're all anonymous, not an app. So we don't know anything about yourself, just know about your cell phone, meaning how many people were listening to which feed for how long, and which was the most popular, what time of the day was the most popular. We can have all of these graphs. So to answer your question, yes, you have a first expense for the hardware. Then after, there's a super low price licensing. It's a yearly base flat, and you can customize as you wish your event.
Right. And on the back end, you're getting insights on as to what actually interests people. So in a bar where you're showing eight Premier League games on eight different screens, you can start to understand, okay, this is actually a Liverpool bar. We didn't know that, but now we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you have, you know, these days we have enormous LED screen, LED walls, whatever, and we're having a lot of picture-in-picture inside of it, so we can have several feeds inside of the same screen. Well, give me one audio feed per picture-in-picture, and all of a sudden, will be having a totally different experience. And at the end of the day, you can have a look and interrogate the system to see, okay, this one was really popular. So we were paying the rights to have the baseball, but no one listened to it. But there was a lot of people onto the soccer game. So next week, what about taking the PIP out of for the baseball game and put a bigger PIP for the soccer game.
Yeah.
So that's only an example, but the KPIs are really relevant. I mean, you know exactly how your system is behaving with your guests.
All right. That was terrific. Very interesting. Thank you so much for spending a little time with me.
Cool. It was a real pleasure. And you know, if ever you have any more questions or whatever, we have our corporate website, dvox.com, dvox.com. That is
perfect. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 69, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the archive and find hundreds of conversations with smart industry people. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 69 at 16-9.net. You'll find more than 8,000 posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. 16-9 is not a press release republishing mill like a lot of the stuff out there. If something makes it on 16-9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16-9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and the key one here is ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Check out all the curated and automated content available at ScreenFeed.com. 16-9, the blog, and the podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which does customer engagement solutions, most of that digital signage, for all kinds of businesses. You'll find them in the Tampa area and online at Spectrio. That's Spectrio.com. You'll find me working out of a sunny back room in my house, located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.